The Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27, and that can be found on page 1082 of the Bibles in Church. John 14, 15 to 27. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Great. If you turn your Bibles to that passage from John chapter 14, that would be great.
John 14, verses 15 to 27. I'm going to pray for us as we look together at God's word. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, through your word, you'd speak to us words of encouragement and challenge and correction for wrong thinking. Help me now as I speak to know your Spirit's help. On Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, do we ever long to have Jesus with us? Right here, right now, physically with us. I guess that's what many of the disciples longed for as they began following Jesus. They wanted to have Jesus with them throughout their lives. And yet, their hopes have been dashed. Chapter 14, we see these disciples have just heard the news that Jesus is going to leave them physically to go back to heaven. And the hope of having Jesus with them there, physically, is devastating. Back in chapter 13, verse 33, we see that Jesus told them he is going to leave them. And they're shocked, and they can't begin to imagine what life on earth will be like without having the physical presence of Jesus with them. Now, in my life, there have been some people that I've been just delighted to say goodbye to. Maybe it's true for you. I had two boys who I loved very much, but they made my teaching career for a year an utter nightmare. The day they walked out of my classroom, I said, "Goodbye, Johnny. Goodbye, Daniel. Go well. Off you go." It was a joy to wave them off. Teaching became much better after that. But there are some people, actually, that it's very hard to say goodbye to, isn't it? It's painful. It's hard. And if ever you've had to say goodbye to a loved one who's going to die, it is incredibly difficult. It's unbearably hard. And Jesus' disciples here in John 14 are finding it very hard, the thought they're going to have to say goodbye to Jesus. And they've given up everything to follow him. And yet as they try and come to terms with what Jesus is saying, Jesus brings them words of comfort and encouragement and challenge. In fact, chapter 14 begins with wonderful words of comfort from Jesus, doesn't it? Verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." And Jesus repeats those words at the end of our section, verse 27. "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus wants to calm troubled hearts through our passage this morning. He wants to still their hearts, for them not to fear life without the physical presence of Jesus with them. And of course, one of their big concerns in the opening part of the chapter is, will they ever get to see Jesus again? And how will they get there? And Jesus tells them the glorious gospel truth, John 14, 6. I hope it's a verse we all know. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You're going to see me again by trusting in me, and you'll be with the Father one day in the new heaven, new earth. You'll see me again. And yet in our passage now, verses 15 to 27, I reckon Jesus is dealing with the whole thing of how will they cope without the physical presence of Jesus with them. In fact, actually, when Jesus goes on in chapter 16, verse 7, and he says, "It's for your good that I go," how can that ever possibly be? They can't begin to imagine life without Jesus. So he tells them and us fantastic news that we celebrate today on this Pentecost Sunday. This day when we celebrate the giving of the Spirit by God. See, Jesus says to troubled hearts, "I will be with you. I will always be with you through the gift of my Spirit." Take a look at the wonderful verse 18. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not abandon you. I will come to you." I remember the family I once met, and the mum was an adopted lady, and she said she was left at an orphanage door by her mother because her mother couldn't cope. And she never knew who her mother was. She was left in a little basket at the front of an orphanage door, and she was collected and picked up by somebody else. Remarkable. Well, Jesus, "I'm not going to leave you like an orphan and walk away from you. I will come to you." He will not abandon them. He will not let them go. How? Well, by the gift of his Spirit. Look at verses 16, 17 and 18 again. "And I will ask the Father," Jesus is speaking, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Great words of comfort from Jesus. That he would come to be with them, their helper, forever. You see, he's going to be like another counselor, Jesus says, verse 16. That Jesus had been steady in his friendship and counsel and care of his disciples over these 3 years of his ministry. And now he says, when he returns to glory, to heaven, where he makes a home for us, he will send a replacement of himself, another counselor. It's the coming of the Spirit of truth, verse 17. And it's actually, Jesus says, him coming to them by his Spirit. "I will come to you." It's that we celebrate today on this Pentecost Sunday. After death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection to new life and his ascension to glory, the Spirit is sent upon those troubled disciples locked away in fear in Jerusalem. The Spirit descends like a flame on their heads and emboldens them to preach the gospel. And they go out and Peter preaches that epic sermon. And thousands of people are converted and the Spirit of God comes into them. People from all nations. That glorious day. It really did happen. The Spirit of truth came to God's people. To his disciples and to those who received Jesus by faith. I wonder, can we see how it's so much better that actually Jesus sent the Spirit, that he's not physically with us? You see, if Jesus was in Jerusalem, look at this map here on the wall. Okay, if he was there today, if he'd risen and was still there, how would we ever make contact with Jesus? If we lived in Nigeria or France or Britain, how could we ever get to experience Jesus? If he was just there, you know, in Israel, Jerusalem, still now, we'd have to get a boat, we'd have to go on a plane to see him. And even if we did get there, would we actually see Jesus? Now, last year, on that gloriously wet day of the Jubilee Sunday weekend after church, the Rees family jumped on the tube to go to the Thames to try and get a glimpse of Her Majesty the Queen on her boat, on her mighty flotilla. And we managed to avoid the rain. That was good. We got on the tube before it started raining. But there were so many people there that we hardly saw a thing. We had the girls on our shoulders to try and get them to give a peep. I think I saw a white hat floating past me. That was it. It might not have been the Queen. I think I saw Her Majesty the Queen's hat. Anyway, I returned home, phoned my mum and dad. I said, "Mum and Dad, have you seen it?" They said, "We've seen it all. On the TV. Like millions of other people around the whole world, they saw Her Majesty the Queen on her mighty flotilla with gorgeous Kate and William and her husband and the family floating past. They saw the lot and I missed it." On the TV, that medium, everyone saw the Queen. Well, when Jesus went back bodily to heaven, he sent his spirit so that universally his people could have and experience Jesus with them. Not by watching the TV, but by the spirit coming to each of them. That is a massive shift. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came on people for a time. It never came individually to different people, for all believers. This is an extraordinary day, the day of Pentecost. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Jesus, by his Spirit, being our personal comforter. To people in Germany or China, the Eurovision people last night, people in their nations who know Christ. Papua New Guinea, Zimbabwe, Morocco, Russia. Wonderfully. We don't have to get on a plane to go to see Jesus because he is in glory and he sent his spirit that he might be with us and come to us. I will come to you by my spirit wherever you are. What a great truth for these disciples to hold on to and for us now. Not abandoned or orphaned, but with Jesus, with us, forever. But not only does Jesus promise he would come to him by his spirit, the extraordinary thing is that he'd actually said he's going to come and make his home in their hearts by his spirit. So you might think, well, I'd love to have Jesus physically here now, but Jesus promises that actually he will come and make his home in our hearts. He will dwell in us by his spirit. Verse 17, it's up there on the screen. The Spirit of truth will be in you. Can you go back, please? You know, that's great. And actually says, we will come to him. That is, God the Father, God the Son, will come and live in us by his Spirit, making his home within us. Fantastic truth if we're Christians today. We are never alone. Jesus is always with us. Whoever else abandons us and forsakes us, whether we're left as a widow or a widower at the end of our life, living on our own, missing our family terribly, and our loved ones, if we're Christians, we have Jesus living in us by his Spirit. Just think of those many persecuted Christians around the world, locked in terrible conditions, in prison, probably feeling very isolated from family and friends, but knowing this glorious truth that the Lord Jesus, that God the Father, is present within them by his Spirit. And that's why, as Christians, we can enjoy the experience of God's peace guarding our hearts. There's lovely words in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I will be with you and in you forever. Never alone. Christ makes his home in the hearts of his people as they receive him by faith. Now feed on that truth, brothers and sisters, this week. Think about that this week. Delight in that truth. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until the work on earth is done. So Jesus says to these troubled disciples, my Spirit will come to you. He will come and live in you. And the third bit of great news is this. That he will teach them, the Spirit will teach them, the disciples, and remind them of everything Jesus said. That's going to be important, isn't it? You can imagine the dilemma they were going to face. Jesus will commission them to go into all the world to spread the good news, to record the truths of the gospel for other people and for us today. How will they ever remember what Jesus had taught? They'd heard so much, all that great body of teaching and truth that had been passed to them, life-changing stuff. How will they ever be able to remember that? Well, Jesus says, by my Spirit. That's how you'll do it. Look at verse 25. and 26. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Spirit of truth would enable these disciples, these apostles, to bring the truths of Jesus to people of all times as they record the apostolic word for us that we have here. The Spirit would remind them and teach them the things they need to write down and record for us now. This is Jesus' self-authentication of the ministry of the apostles, that the Spirit would lead them into all truth. This is for them then, recorded for us now here, that we might build our lives on the truths of this Spirit-inspired word, the Word of God. We say, this is the Word of the Lord, thanks be to God. We're saying, these are God's words. Thanks be to God. How do we know that's true? Because the Spirit came. And he helped these disciples record these truths for us that we might build our lives on the truth. How do we know about Jesus? We've never met him. How do we know about salvation? How do we know how to run church life? How do we know how to live? We have the inspired word of God, enabled by the Spirit of God and the lives of his apostles recorded for us. You see, that's very important for us right now, isn't it, in our culture, in our country. Why do we make a fuss about what marriage is? Well, because God's word tells us what it is. And we build our lives on that truth. Not the truth of society or the thinking of society or issues of justice in society. We build it on the word of God and we stand on it. And we'll be the odd ones out. But we hold on to the word of God, inspired by the Spirit for us. You see, with all this encouragement for the disciples that the Spirit would come to them, they would not be abandoned. The Spirit would come and live in them. God would be with them. Jesus would be with them in their hearts. And this Spirit coming to enable them to record the words of Jesus for us and his truths comes a challenge to his disciples to keep on following Christ throughout their lives. It's a challenge to them. It's a challenge to us now. So have a look at verse 15. Three times Jesus says it in this passage. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will love my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you love me, you'll obey me. I guess the disciples did love Jesus. That's why they're so devastated at the thought of Jesus leaving them physically. But he calls them to the ongoing life of discipleship. We show our love for Jesus by obeying him. It's very easy to sing worship songs, isn't it? To be moved by them, that's a joy. But actually the reality is, do we go out and live that obedience in our lives? I guess each of us will be facing different things that we know in our lives we need to obey Jesus about. Maybe to do with our relationships or our money or our time or what we do with our minds and all these sorts of things, and maybe our work. Well, we're compromising. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. The mark of a Spirit-filled Christian is somebody who loves Jesus, and they do it by obeying his word. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge of the whole Christian life, isn't it? That's the challenge of the whole journey until we get to glory. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And that's the journey of the Christian life. The challenge daily. Becoming more and more like Jesus and obeying him and bowing the knee to him when we really don't want to. We see on this Pentecost Sunday. This is a great passage, isn't it? To encourage us and to challenge us. We don't have Jesus physically with us. But through faith in him, we do have Jesus living within us by his Spirit. Always with us, never alone. Enabling us to live for him. And actually teaching us truth through his word. And calling us all today to loving obedience. Let me just pray. Lord God, we thank you very much for these words of Jesus recorded for us by the Apostle John. Thank you for the ministry of the Spirit, enabling me to recall your teaching that we can build our lives upon. And what a joy to know, Father, that the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, lives in us, that we are never alone. Whatever we face this week, may we hold on to that truth and depend on you and pray to you. Help us to build our lives, not on what the world wants, but on what you say in your word. For your grace and your Spirit's power to do this, we pray now. Amen.